The Unity game engine is working on its image by bringing a familiar face into the company. Plus, Nintendo is known for its takedowns of music, but they've gone even farther than most expected. Tonight is June 23rd, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So not, you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Welcome to summer. It's the first show of the summer, officially. It's hot out there. It's like in the 90s, high 90s Fahrenheit here. I know in Celsius world that means like it's boiling. It's not boiling. But yeah, it's nice out there. I was at the pool today. It was great. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a summer edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this wonderful summer night, at least where I am. I mean, well, it's hot. That doesn't need to be this hot climate. Do something about that. Thank you so much. We do tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. So come join us, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But if you cannot be here because you are like Questbuster, who said who actually touched grass, so there can be some grass touching that can go on, head on over to our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. That is where you will be able to chat with us throughout the week. I will not be here next Sunday. Orange Lounge Radio will still be here next Sunday, just like they are tonight. But I will not be here next Sunday because I am going to be in Minneapolis. And in fact, one of my two appearances will have already happened a week from now. So don't expect a video for OLR on Sunday. I've done that in the past. I'm going to be at Summer Games Done Quick 2024. I'm going to be one of the disembodied voices that you hear in the background, talking about donations, reading donations, talking about the upcoming games that you're about to see in the marathon. And they have me working on day one and day three. So I will not be here on this show next Sunday, but next Sunday, a little bit earlier, a couple hours earlier, I'm going to be over at twitch.tv/gamesdonequick, hosting for 3 speed runs. So on that Sunday, last I checked, it's still about 3:50 p.m. Eastern time. I am going to be hosting for the Mega Man 9 Any Percent Run by Slurpee Ninja. After that, I will be hosting for the Ratchet & Clank All Gold Bolts run in place for a PlayStation 3 by Marathon Man. And after that, the Splatoon 3 Side Order New Game Plus run. This is Marie's palette. It's going to be run by Tones Balones. And so that is actually happening day one. That's the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, day one. We'll probably raise our first $100,000, which is an amazing number by itself, by then. And then we continue on throughout the week, benefiting Doctors Without Borders. As Jonah Matt says, Bobby, reading donations quick. They have actually told me to slow down a little bit because not everybody can understand fast talking. So I've got to slow it down just a little bit. And then Tuesday night, I will be back. So 2 days later in the evening after the checkpoint. So starting at about 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific in the evening, afternoon, wherever you are. I will be hosting Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, the Any Percent Run by Tapioca. And then after that, I will be hosting the Mass Effect 2 Any Percent New Game Plus Run on PC by Sanjin. And I will say that because I have said this in the past about a particular incentive that people are excited about, I will say, because I only put it here, on this show, that I checked the incentive list and there is no more karaoke incentive for Like a Dragon Gaiden. It was not on the list when I checked it today. It was on the list a couple weeks ago. So something happened that they removed the karaoke incentive. So we will. There was not going to be any Baka Mitai singing going on, as far as I know, unless it gets added back, which it absolutely could. But it was something that was there on the sheet before. It's not on the sheet now that I have access to. And I talked about it and hyped it up a little bit, and I don't think we're going to be doing it. So don't know why. If I figure out, I may be able to say why publicly. I may not. I don't know. I don't want to break any NDAs or anything, because I am technically actually under an NDA with Games Done Quick. So I will be back the following Sunday. I actually fly back early that day, so I will be back. I will take video of what it's like to be at Games Done Quick in person. It is the first time it's going to be a sold-out Games Done Quick since I have done this. I started with the Games Done Quick organization in summer of 2020 when everything was online. And when I went back to be able to go to those Games Done Quicks, the ones that I had been in person, they were under some restrictions that people couldn't do. And then now they are finally back to the point where there aren't as many restrictions out there, which can be a good or a bad thing based on how you look at it. But also, it's at the normal time in the summer. So it's sold out. So they have hit their attendee cap, which is 2,500 people. They have hit that attendee cap, so nobody else can get in. If you didn't get a ticket in, if you didn't register and get in, you aren't getting in. And that also, what's interesting about that is that also counts for people who were supposed to be commentating. If they were supposed to be commentating a run and they didn't register, they can no longer commentate that run because they can't get in the venue. It also does suck for family members who maybe want to see their brother, sister, or adult son or daughter or whoever. They can't get in unless they have registered. They don't allow the parents in. Parents of minors, they have a different system for those who are under 18. They have a different system for that. But if it's like a family member that's like, I just want to go see my family members speed run on stage, you can't get in. So they keep it locked down like that. And there aren't that many exceptions that are made. So anyway, Summer Games Done Quick starts next Sunday over at twitch.tv/gamesdonequick. It is benefiting Doctors Without Borders. And I will be on the air for both Sunday afternoon and Tuesday evening, but it will go all the way through the following Saturday night. Hopefully, you'll be able to catch a little bit of it. And I will not see you here on VOG Network next Sunday. I will see you the following Sunday. Let's go ahead and get into some stuff that happened this week. I normally don't talk about rumors and speculation. I don't like doing it, but sometimes when the rumor is coming from a very trusted source, I will chat about it because it's an interesting development that I didn't think would happen. And I'm actually talking about Apple and VR, so get your drinks ready. 9 to 5 Mac reports that Apple is reportedly working on a cheaper, cut-down version of the Apple Vision Pro, scheduled to arrive by the end of 2025, according to The Information. So The Information, it is a Silicon Valley, San Francisco-based technology website. They are very reputable. They have reported on things that have been accurate in the past. This is not just some random Google employee looking at a YouTube account. This is actually has a little bit more smoke to it. At the same time, the publication says that development work on a second-generation high-end model of the Vision Pro has been shelved, seemingly to prioritize the cheaper hardware path. Although it's unclear at what price point the cheaper Apple Vision headset would hit, anything less than the $3,500 starting price of the Apple Vision Pro will help the company compete with the likes of the Meta Quest. The Information, once again, the site that this came from, suggests that Apple is aiming for a price around $1,500, similar to the cost of a high-end iPhone. And ZenMonkey11 in chat even says, when they say cheap, they might mean $700. No, they mean $1,500. You were close, but double it. Actually, more than double it. Because doubling what you said would be $1,400, and they're looking at $1,500. So their definition of cheap, it's still Apple cheap. Let's put it that way. It's cheaper than, like, the monitor that they had. Like, remember there was the monitor or the... the monitor, I think, was the stand that was $1,000. Anyway, let's be positive about Apple for a little bit. Let's be positive for just a little bit. Let's not turn this into an Apple bash fest. Just last week, Apple announced the first international expansion for Apple Vision Pro availability to 8 new countries and previewed new platform software features coming in Vision OS 2. The information, the site, says that it's possible that Apple could resume work on a high-end second-gen Vision Pro at some point, but it seems relatively confident that the move reflects a change in strategy for the time being. The information, once again, the site, says the number of employees assigned to the second-gen Vision Pro had been gradually declining over the course of the last year as attention turned to the cheaper model. However, even the cheaper hardware product is facing engineering challenges. The company is apparently struggling to find ways to cut the price of the device without sacrificing too much of the experience. It also wants to make the headset lighter, with weight being one of the biggest criticisms of the Vision Pro hardware. As Jeremat even says, it's cheaper than I thought they were going to say. If they can pull it off for $1,500, then I can. Then it would help a lot. What I have heard about the Vision Pro, and remember, I have used the Vision Pro for a whole 3 minutes. So that obviously makes me an expert on the Vision Pro. For those of you that don't catch sarcasm, that's totally sarcasm. I've used it for 3 minutes. I did a curated demo. I didn't set it up for me. I didn't have the full-on experience. It was somebody else's headset. And I put it on, did one three-minute thing, and that was it. So I don't actually have all that much experience with what the Vision Pro can do in terms of an OS. And I'm not going to find out because I'm not spending $3,500 on that. I already did that once, spending $3,000 on a major computer manufacturer's headset. It was called the Microsoft HoloLens, and it's essentially a brick now. It's not really a brick. It will turn on. It will work. But nobody writes anything for it anymore. Nothing's compatible with it anymore because the HoloLens 2 was not backwards compatible with the HoloLens, so there's really nothing for it. It is essentially now a museum piece at this point. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. Plus, I don't have any other Apple products in the house, so there's nothing for it to pair to. The Apple Vision Pro works best in its own ecosystem. It works best if you already have a MacBook. It works best if you already have an iPad or an iPhone. That's where it shines more than these other VR headsets that are essentially monitors to your PC or what the Meta Quest can do. It's the Apple ecosystem. And that's why Microsoft actually was partnering with Meta to bring some of those same features with the Windows ecosystem and the Xbox ecosystem into the Meta Quest to directly compete with what Apple can bring. But $3,500 for something that's just an extension of your existing Apple devices that you've already paid $700, $1,000, $2,000 for, that's a little bit steep for a lot of people other than the Apple diehards. Some of the things they can do is lower the quality of the screens, maybe get rid of some of the features like the eye tracking and things like that. Those are things you can take out, but they don't want to because it's all about the optics. And what they've got in there, it is absolutely a headset that looks like it should be $3,500. They're going to need to take away some of the things that make it look cool and some of the things that are like buzzworthy on the back of the box in order to get it down to a price that's like $1,500. So they're going to have to figure out what they're going to compromise on. And then they've got to figure out if the fans of Apple products will accept those compromises. So I look forward to seeing what actually comes out of that. But this website that this came from, the information does have a good track record, so I am inclined to believe that this is happening. Notice nobody got laid off. they just moved around teams, which is a good thing to say about Apple, is that you don't hear that much about Apple laying off people. ZenMonkey11, that said, some gamers think that innovation is a gimmick. They only want new pro controllers and online play. They like gimmicks once they learn why they want the gimmicks. The thing about a lot of things that we consider innovation is that they all seem like gimmicks because they are an answer to a question that hasn't been asked yet. And the trick is, can you find the question? I will tell you the story of one of the biggest gimmicks that everybody made fun of back in the 90s. Listen up, kids. You remember this? Nintendo came out with this gimmick. It was even packaged in with the game to kind of force you to have it. And everybody's like, that's dumb. That's silly. Why? And you're probably going to think I'm talking about the Virtual Boy. I'm not. Because Nintendo has had some misses as well. But the biggest gimmick that Nintendo had in the late 90s was this accessory called the Rumble Pack, and it was packaged with Star Fox 64. And it was kind of made fun of. Like, why would I want my controller to shake? Why would I want that? That's stupid. That's a gimmick. Now, every controller has haptic feedback. But it was considered a gimmick at the time, and it's because Nintendo found out what the question was and answered the question. Nintendo doesn't always find out what the question is. See the Virtual Boy, see the balance board, see things like that. But when you find the proper question, then the gimmick becomes an innovation. The problem that we're having in VR, and I am saying this from a place of love of VR, is that we never did find the question that VR answers. I was hoping we would find the question, and I don't think we found the appropriate question. And Apple has not really found the appropriate question yet. They say that the question is, well, what if I want all my Mac screens and my iPhone screens all around me in the room? And it turns out not many people are asking for that. ZenMonkey11 says, yeah, I gave Sony too much credit. Sony is the first one that implemented the Rumble inside the controller, but Nintendo had the Rumble Pack first and introduced people to the haptic feedback, and that's when the DualShock came out for the PlayStation 1 that had I think the DualShock was in I know they had it for the PlayStation 2. Can't remember if they had the DualShock for the PlayStation 1. Analog control sticks was something that once again Nintendo started, and then Sony kind of went the next level with the dual analog sticks, because Nintendo had an analog stick and integrating it with the controllers. As Jeremy Matt says, yeah, when Sony got rid of Rumble for a little bit during the PS3 days, folks got mad. Yeah, Sony didn't want to pay the patents for it. They didn't want to pay the licensing for it. Mike Def says, we definitely need to go back and read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. We need to find the question to get the answer. Yeah, that's actually the whole joke about 42, is that you didn't ask a question, so it just gave you an answer. Tiger Claw says, remember when Nintendo came out with the memory and came out with the N64 memory expansion pack. It's supposed to make the games that support it look and run better. Nintendo had an expansion port in the front, or the N64 had the expansion port in the front, and it essentially just added some more RAM and stuff. Donkey Kong 64, I believe, was the first game that required it. And then a couple games required it later on. And that was kind of smart on their part. That way they could make the console better without having to force you to buy a whole new console. Man, wouldn't that be great if they could do that now for consumers? It wouldn't be great for them. They didn't make as much money, but it would be great for us now. There were a couple games. StarCraft 64 was another one, as Jeremy Mann says. There were several games that required the memory pack, and other games worked without the memory pack, but they didn't work as well. I so wish we found that question. for VR. I really wish, and I actually think now we're too late. Like, I think the VR fad itself is kind of over. VR hasn't gone away. VR is not dead. But I think the amount of time that we had to find the proper question has passed on VR. And I hate saying that because I wish we had found the question, and I hope people are still looking for the question. There aren't that many things that can only be done in VR that answers why you should be in VR. In terms of games, let's just talk about games and not productivity apps, which is what the Apple Vision Pro is for and the HoloLens is for. In terms of games, the closest we got was Beat Saber. Because of all of the games that I have played, Beat Saber is the one that you cannot port to a monitor and have it play the same way. Every other game that has come out for VR has a way that you can play it on a monitor. Or if they had made it for a monitor, they wouldn't need to tweak it too much. Even Half-Life Alyx doesn't need to be tweaked too much to work in monitor mode. The problem with Half-Life Alyx is that it's too easy if you're not playing it in VR. So that's the problem there. It was designed for VR, but you can absolutely play it on a monitor because it's just a first-person shooter. Beat Saber, because of the way that it actually uses your spatial representation, you would have to change it too much to so you could tell the player, here's when you need to hit, and here's what button you would press to hit it. It would be a completely different game. It might look like Beat Saber, but they would have to actually have a completely different game design. And there's not that many VR games out there that you actually have to completely overhaul the game design for it to work on anything but VR. And we don't have enough of those. That's why I bring up Beat Saber. Everything else you can kind of work on a monitor without changing the game too much. All right, let's move on. Talking about somebody who retired and is now back. So here's a blast from the most recent past. The Verge reports that Larry Herb, a.k.a. Major Nelson, or as he always said, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, has his next job. Following his departure from Microsoft last year, where he was a public face for the Xbox brand, Herb will be joining Unity's community team, he announced on Monday. So Unity, the game engine, they have been they've had some missteps. They've had a CEO step away because of all the missteps. They've laid off a bunch of their workforce this year, back in January. They need an image overhaul. So why not get somebody who is used to being the public face and someone that a lot of people actually do respect? Not everybody respected Major Nelson, but a lot of people did. At Microsoft, he, among other things, hosted the official Xbox podcast and posted about Xbox to his large following on Twitter. On LinkedIn, he lists his new job title as Director of Community, and based on a LinkedIn post, it seems like he'll be a brand ambassador in some form. He said in the post, quote, Unity's mission of empowering creative and business success of creators around the world across games, apps, and experiences aligns with my lifelong passion for innovation and community building. I am eager to collaborate with the talented developers and creators who use Unity's tools to bring their visions to life. Together, we'll continue to transform the way stories are told and experiences are shared, unquote. Sturlock even says in our chat, this is an incredibly smart get for Unity. Yes, they need an image rehabilitation because even if they get all the right people in place behind the scenes to kind of backtrack and get rid of the things that they had done that had upset a lot of developers, like the install fee and things like that, even if they fix all that, the perception is still out there. Even if they backtrack, people will still say, Unity sucks because they do this, even if they don't do it anymore. And we even saw this with the Xbox. I remember there were people that were very upset that when Xbox announced that the Xbox One was going to be always online in order to facilitate all these things that would have been nice, like, you know, being able to share a game with someone else, being able to sell your games on, you know, used digitally. but it required the console to be always online. And they got trashed for it because it was 2013 and we weren't ready for that yet. They backtracked on that. They did not actually do that with the Xbox One. There were still people 6 years later who said, I will never touch an Xbox because it's always online. And they didn't do that anymore. They actually never implemented that. They talked about it and decided not to go down that route. So even though they weren't doing that thing that they were upset about, they still believed they were doing that thing. It's the whole, like, truthiness, where it doesn't matter if it's actually true or not. If it feels true, that's how you react. So Unity needs somebody to change the perception of Unity to what Unity may actually be doing. And Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, that's how I hear it in my head, even though that's not how he said it recently, is the person to do that, because Larry Herb is very good at engaging the community. I saw that firsthand. I have worked with Major Nelson in the past, and he is going to be able to steer them on a path for their image rehabilitation. Other people are there to steer them on the right path of their actual rehabilitation, their services rehabilitation. They're working with other people inside Unity, other people outside of Unity, and he can be the face for that. Sterlock says, Major Nelson was around for the great Xbox One storm of 2014 and basically came out smelling like roses. That's not easy. And as General Matt says, Peter Moore is also with Unity now as a senior vice president. So that they're going to do what they can to turn things around, because they are a publicly traded company and they need to turn things around now. And this is a very promising hire for them to get. And Microsoft's a publicly traded company, too. So Larry Herb also knows how to do this in a company that has to answer to shareholders. He has that experience. So we don't need to burn all of our Unity stuff yet. It sounds like they're trying to turn things around while still making money for their shareholders. Please remember that part. But if they actually listen to what Major Nelson is saying and listen to the feedback that Major Nelson gets, because Major Nelson is now going to be the person who is the focal point for the community that uses Unity to make their games, that sells games using Unity. If they listen to him and he's able to convince the right people, I think Unity might be able to turn it around. And that would be great for everybody. That would be great for the industry, because yes, Unreal Engine exists. Yes, Godot exists, I hope they pronounce it Godot. I've only seen it written, but it's another engine. Game Maker exists. Other engines exist. But the more that are around, the better everyone is. Competition is great in that sense. You want to know what's not great? And that's Nintendo right now. I mean, Nintendo had their Direct this week. Let's be fair. There were some leaks that were posted on the VOG Network Discord, and we're like, those are not real. And we're told, I don't know. They could be very, very real, and included things like a F-Zero GX remaster. No, that didn't happen. No, the leaks weren't real. We did actually get a new Zelda, where you actually play as Zelda. That was kind of nice. They did show the new Metroid. That was kind of nice. I am going to finally be able to play Fantasian, which was announced at the Direct, but it is actually coming out to all the consoles. Fantasian was the last game that Nobuo Uematsu and Inorobu Sakaguchi did together. It was an Apple Arcade exclusive for years, and now it's no longer going to be exclusive. It's actually going to be coming out, and they announced it on the Nintendo Direct, but it is coming out to like PC and Xbox and things like that. Sterlock says, the big Direct announcement for me is Marvel. It's a fighting games fan's Christmas. Yes, it's Marvel, baby. Where's your curly mustache? I saw a lot of people. There's a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 collection coming out, which is also coming out on some other platforms, except I think not. There's one it's not coming out on. But that was something that was announced at the Direct, and that's great for a lot of people. They got all the licensing figured out for that. I know that is one of the more anticipated ones. And I'm not even sure if Nintendo even knew that would be the most anticipated one. They announced a new Zelda where you play as Zelda. And there's a new Mario and Luigi Brotherhood. And there's the new Metroid. And it's Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is what everybody's talking about. But sadly, Nintendo also made a lot of people sad this week. Nintendo Life reports that it should come as no surprise that Nintendo is pretty protective regarding its IP. Going after emulators, ROM hacks, and reproductions is one thing, but it looks like the firm is starting to aim its sights on something rather surprising: sheet music. According to two separate community posts on YouTube, it seems like Nintendo is looking to take down fan-arranged sheet music based on its franchises. The first is via the popular channel Sheet Music Boss, which states, quote, "In a classic Nintendo move, they have DMCA'd all of our correctly licensed sheet music. This doesn't benefit the original artists. They receive royalties for our arrangements that they will now not get. This also doesn't benefit us because it makes us less likely to make music that we love. And it's frustrating for you all because you can't play our arrangements that we've put hours into. We're working on it, but it's super frustrating, especially given that so many Nintendo pieces aren't available anywhere as sheet music. Sorry for everyone affected, and please know that it's totally out of our control," unquote. The second is from Purple Shayla, a pianist who has amassed a following of nearly 30,000. In a similar post, she confirms that her sheet music, hosted via Music Notes, has been taken down by Nintendo, including arrangements for Fire Emblem and Xenoblade Chronicles. Quote, "No trying about it. Already done, unfortunately. They're all gone. At least we got them up to have them for a few years," unquote. Nintendo has been pretty vigilant when it comes to targeting channels hosting official soundtracks without the necessary licenses to do so, but venturing into sheet music territory seems to be a new thing for the company. I know a little bit about licensing, music licensing, and so I'm going to try to break down what's going on here and why I am scratching my head and not scratching my head at the same time. So, in the realm of music licenses, there are two for every song out there. There is the mechanical license, which is the recording. That is the actual recording of the piece. That is the MP3 file, if you want to, you know, talk about that type of stuff, or what you hear on Spotify. Then there is also the composition license, and this is the written part. So, if you are an orchestra and you wish to play the theme, the Mario theme, let's say, you would need to pay the composition license to whoever represents Koji Kondo and Nintendo, because you need to license the written work. You do not need to license the mechanical license because you are going to be performing it yourself. Now, if you had recorded that orchestra playing it, and somebody wanted to play your recording on the air, they would actually pay you the mechanical license, because the mechanical license of that recorded work is actually yours. Then they would also have to pay Koji Kondo, or whoever represents Koji Kondo, for the compositional license. So there's the two licenses. There's who recorded it and who wrote it. So what the sheet music does, what these sheet music companies, is they pay for the compositional license to be able to make an altered work. They pay that license. That license, every time somebody buys their sheet music, they actually pay out a portion of that license to Koji Kondo or whoever owns the compositional license for the piece. If the piece is older than 95 years old, then it is in the public domain. You no longer have to pay the compositional license. So if you have a recording and you want to play a recording of a Beethoven piece, well, guess what? There's still a mechanical license for the recording that you are playing. Whichever orchestra recorded it, you still have to pay their license. The compositional license, nope, you don't have to pay that one. So, what Nintendo is going after are people who have paid a compositional license to rearrange the work and post it, but they're taking down the sheet music so other people can't play it. So that's why it scratches my head, is because all the necessary licenses are actually being paid in this sense. This isn't somebody just uploading their work willy-nilly. Licenses are paid. Nintendo is getting paid for these. What Nintendo might be worried about is that the sheet music is available in the YouTube video, so other people could get that sheet music for free and perform it in a public setting for free without paying Nintendo the compositional license. Tireclaw says, regarding the composition, it's always not note for note, because the performer could deviate from it in a few places, even if they use the original composition. And that's why the mechanical license is separate from the compositional license. If you are playing something that was written by someone else, even if you deviate from it, you have to pay a compositional license. And you even see this in songs today when artists, take a part of somebody else's song, they actually have to pay part of a compositional license for that original song. And I know I'm going to show my age, but let's talk about Vanilla Ice and Ice Ice Baby. Part of the compositional license for Ice Ice Baby actually gets paid to Queen, because Queen wrote the backing track. Even though Vanilla Ice does add a single note in the bass line, he does add an extra note. It's not enough of a deviation. It is still based on the Queen. So anytime Ice Ice Baby gets played, part of the compositional license goes to Queen, even though there's a deviation. And it's not necessarily just a sample, because Pod Culture says sample. It can also be you're playing the same riff. Even though you're playing it, if you're playing the same part of the riff, and it sounds too much like this other song, yes. And there are lawsuits about this all the time, where an artist says, oh, Taylor Swift, took a portion of my song and made it her chorus. And now that artist now has to fight in court, but will eventually get awarded a partial songwriter credit, so they get part of the compositional license. They don't get anything in the mechanical license, because they didn't actually record it themselves. So Nintendo is taking down correctly licensed work because they're afraid somebody else might use it in a way that does not benefit them. So it's a little bit of a reach, but I also understand that Nintendo may not understand that part. They may feel that it is illegally licensed, and that's why they're going after it, because a lot of people can now make sheet music. Like, writing sheet music is a lot easier now than it was even 20 years ago. Programs are cheaper to do it. There are cheaper apps to do it, whereas when I was in high school, you either had to do it on sheet of paper, which we did a lot for, like, arrangements of stuff, or you had to get, like, Finale, which was a piece of software, and if you didn't know how to sail the seven seas, that was hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and that meant something 20 years ago, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Tireclaw says, sometimes you might hear a riff that sounds similar until the last couple notes, which makes it different, and you have to convince a jury that you changed it enough to not be the original song. I promise you, there are so many court cases about this where they analyze the chord progression and the structure of a song to see if it is too similar. Just because you change a couple notes at the end doesn't mean it's not going to be similar enough that a jury is going to award royalties to the original artist. So, and S. Jaron and Matt says, from what I understand, Sony owns the Beatles catalog, purchased from Michael Jackson's estate, which is a separate story, but Apple Corps owns the mechanical license. So if you need a Beatles song in a TV or movie, you go to Apple Corps. The more recent example is, I'm going to invoke Taylor Swift again, the compositional license Taylor owns. However, her old mechanical licenses of her songs are owned by, what is his name, Scooter Braun or whatever, and she didn't like that. So she re-recorded her songs. She owns the compositional license, so she can do that. She re-recorded them, and those are all your Taylor's version that you see a lot now. And that's solely because that is now a mechanical license she owns. And the old versions, the mechanical license is owned by the other person. Yeah, music licensing is a whole thing. And I can understand Nintendo going after, you know, people just posting the soundtrack to YouTube. I understand that. But this is sheet music that is paying the correct compositional license. So it's a little heavy-handed. And they didn't just remove things off YouTube. They removed things off of a service called Music Notes, where you can buy that composition. And you would pay both, and your money would go both the person who actually arranged the sheet music, the arranger, and that person also got the compositional license from Koji Kondo or whoever at Nintendo. So Nintendo still sees that money, and Nintendo is not putting out their own sheet music. I will also mention, just so Pod Culture takes a drink, by the way. Sorry, Pod Culture, you get to take a drink. This is why you don't hear marching bands, halftime shows on television during college football. Because in order to air the halftime show, ESPN or whoever would need to pay the compositional license to the person, to the original writer, either the arranger or but also the original composer of whatever song that they're doing. ESPN would need to pay that license to be able to air it. Even though the marching band is on the field right there playing it, so there's no mechanical license, but they still need to pay the composition license, which is why they only do it for the big games, like the national championship or the playoffs or, you know, the big bowl games. But that's why you don't hear the marching band in halftime show of just a regular season game. You will see them, they will put the camera on them, but you can't hear them. And it's because ESPN doesn't want to pay every single composition license for every song. They work out in the big games, they work out with the band, okay, which song they'll pay for one of the maybe three songs that the marching band will play during halftime. They will pick one song, they will pay the license for that, and that's the one song they air. Then they go to commercial and do other things. S. Jared Man says, Bobby is correct. That's the best comment I like hearing. Speaking of music, we're going to take a very quick music break. And then we'll come back and talk to Rob about some other things going on. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show or in the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Vasta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
You're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
That's right. I am the favorite host on the Citadel at Summer Games Done Quick next week because I will be hosting for Mass Effect 2. And there actually is a skip in Mass Effect 2 called the Bobby Skip. They actually go out of bounds just to hang out with me. They call it the Bobby Skip. It's great. So, I'm going to be at Summer Games Done Quick next week. So find out more at gamesdonequick.com. Benefiting Doctors Without Borders. Mike Death says, Bobby Skip percent. I would love that, but the thing is, and maybe that's the speed run I can do, because it's literally in like the sixth minute. It's really early in the speed run. It's like minute six is the Bobby Skip. So it's very early on in the run. But I will be at Summer Games Done Quick next week, so we will not have a show here on VOG Network next Sunday. We will be back the following Sunday. But next Sunday, early in the afternoon, if you want to hang out over at Games Done Quick, over twitch.tv/GamesDoneQuick, starting at about 3:50 p.m. Eastern, 12:50 p.m. Pacific, something like that. I don't know. It might be earlier. It might be later. I don't know. Mega Man 9, Ratchet & Clank, Splatoon 3. I'm going to be hosting for all three of those games on Sunday, and then Tuesday evening, starting at about 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name. It's a Yakuza title, so I'm excited about that. And Mass Effect 2. Dark Sakura says, there's a thing called the Sakura Skip where I skip the whole game. I also skipped the entire game of Mass Effect 2. I also skipped it. I did not skip Mass Effect 1. I did actually play Mass Effect 1, and I've tried it a couple times. And then something shiny happened, and I never went back. So, that's on me. But I'll get to watch the whole thing be run in about an hour, I think. I think it's an hour-long speedrun for Mass Effect 2. It is New Game Plus, so that's how they can make it like that. Usually, I will take calls. I always think about I'm going to take calls, and then I realize, oh, I talk too long, and I don't leave room, and so nobody joins the green room, which I completely understand. We do, so we can actually do that if we ever wanted to, is we have a green room voice chat channel in Discord, and then I pull you in somewhere else, and then we can talk. Esther to Matt says, the Bobby skip for Ni No Kuni is playing the demo and turning it off. That is true. That is absolutely true. That is how I skipped Ni No Kuni and all of its variations, because the demo for Ni No Kuni was terrible. And I never forgave Namco, I think is who put it on. I never forgave them. And so I never played the second one. It's a game that would have been up my alley, just the demo sucked. But anyway, coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network is Orange Challenge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what they're going to be talking about, because I know they are going to be talking about a lot more about the Nintendo Direct than I did. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, and please don't skip us tonight.
I am not skipping you all tonight.
Thank you.
No. I did. There was actually like some orientation for Games Done Quick, and it was either I either had to take it yesterday. Uh-huh. Or I had to take it tonight in about 35 minutes. Did it yesterday.
Oh, good. So, good. Glad you got
it. So that way I will not be skipping Orange Sounds Radio tonight.
Yeah, I had an orientation for something recently, and I had to decide if I wanted to do it last Saturday or if I wanted to do it next Saturday, which is my birthday weekend. Ooh. So I was like, you know, I think I'll do the first one.
Yeah.
Whereas I think based on how many people showed up, I think most people are waiting for the second one.
Yes.
But we'll see.
We'll see. So I see that you are wearing that is a Zelda hat.
It is.
That you are wearing. So are you excited to play as Zelda?
I'm not sure yet. The jury's out. The Legend of Link.
Yes.
I am. I'm not sure I love the mechanic of the conjuring. Here's the thing. In practice, like in theory, yeah, playing as Zelda in a decent Legend of Zelda game. We're not going to talk about 3DO. Being able to play Zelda in like a decent game, especially one, you know, and it makes sense that they were, you know, able to relatively easily make a new Zelda game in the same engine that they did the Game Boy remake in a few years ago. And in theory, yeah, playing as Zelda is a great idea. I'm not sure I love the whole conjuring mechanic and the whole thing about like summoning tables and stuff. I think the thing that it piques my interest a little bit is how they are trying to bring that open world sense with that, I think, to a more traditionally 2D Zelda, something inspired by the 2D Zeldas anyway, which tend to be more my jam. So I don't know. I don't want to just write it off just because I don't think I care for the mechanic, but there is a part of me that's like, can't she just summon a sword and a shield or a crossbow? And like, we can just kind of have like normal combat, but we'll see. I hope there's a demo that's better than Ni No Kuni's or something.
Yeah. But if anybody can make a new mechanic like that work, I do trust Nintendo to be the ones to make it work. Can they do it? Like, can they do it? Yes. Will they? That's what the jury is out.
Yeah.
Because thought the hat thing was weird. In Odyssey, we're like, how is that going to work? You know, Mario throwing the hat. We're like, I don't know if I like that. And it turned out to be fine.
Yeah, it turned out to be fine. Yeah. So I'm trying to, I am trying to keep an open mind. But if you are going to ask me, am I hyped right now? The answer is, let's play the game and then I'll let you know.
Is there anything in the Nintendo Direct that did catch your eye?
Well, obviously, I was very excited to see that Metroid Prime 4 like is real, although I thought that trailer was very bare bones, shall we say, and makes me wonder if they aren't sitting on a little more about that because of the Nintendo Switch 2. Fantasian finally going multi-platform is great news. I think that was one of the most exciting things. And then honestly, the most exciting thing for me, I think, was the Dragon Quest III remake, followed up by the 1 and 2 remakes. I think it's really cool that they're taking the really classic Dragon Quest games and kind of putting them in that Octopath engine they've been doing a lot of games in lately. I'm very curious to see how it serves a game like the original Dragon Quest, which, you know, if you think about it, being the very first in the series was a very bare bones kind of game. You can probably run through that game start to finish. Well, I'll let the speedrunner MC give me the actual answer on that. But even just playing it somewhat normally, I feel like that game really only takes a couple hours to get through. It's not an extraordinarily long game. So I'm kind of curious how the HD remaster kind of serves it. You know, what they might do to it, or if it's just a straight port, which is fine too, to be honest. I think that's fine. But I did, thought that looked really good.
I did notice that it's 1 and 2. HD, so it's going to be one price for both,
and maybe that's how they're sort of justifying that. Like they recognize that one was it was the first game and it was different, right? So maybe that's kind of how they're justifying charging the full price by making it two games essentially.
I think that's what they would do, whereas, like, you know, Final Fantasy 1 was long enough that it could have its own SKU, essentially. Let's use marketing, let's use retail terms. But it could have its own thing. But I think Dragon Quest 1 and 2, like, one by itself isn't that much. But pair it with 2, you get both of them together. And I think that's where consumers would be more willing to pay for both of them, and instead of trying to pay for each one separately.
Otherwise, with news in there, I would say Metroid Zero Mission finally coming out for Game Boy Advance emulator is great. Because that's you want to talk about a game that was redone really well. That's a great reimagining of the original Metroid, so that's good. And then, of course, I think someone has to say something about the Marvel versus Capcom fighting game collection. I mean, I know I don't talk about fighting games a lot, but I know this is one that was very much like a holy grail for a lot of people to finally see, you know, some of these games actually getting a release on console. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, between this and some of the recent news with Street Fighter VI, I'm really hoping this is setting the stage for a Capcom versus SNK comeback. Nothing would make me happier, to be honest, in the fighting game realm.
I was surprised that, like, Marvel versus Capcom 2, that was what got most people hyped. In a direct that had a new Zelda where you played as Zelda, it had Metroid. But it's Marvel versus Capcom that everybody's excited about. No F-Zero GX remaster. That's what the leak in our Discord said.
Oh, the leak that I told you, and you said this too, I'm sure, it was obviously not correct for the following reasons. But what did I say? What did I say, by the way, was missing?
Just Dance.
Just Dance 2025 was missing. And guess what was in the direct, folks?
Just Dance 2025. It was right there.
Jeez. Someday they'll be calling me instead of Michael Patcher. Someday.
Yes.
Ego plus plus. All right.
So, but yeah, no, Fantasian for me, and seeing that come multi-platform, even though I'd probably still get it on the Switch. You know, that's a game that I've always wanted to play, but I don't have an Apple device. And it wasn't I didn't want to play it so badly that I was going to buy an Apple device for it. If there were three games, because that's my kind of thing, you know, that's when I'm like, okay, maybe I'll get that system, you know, and use it as a game machine. But for one, no. And I was like, maybe one day it'll come out. And I guess we're even getting other content or something with it. So,
well, they got to sweeten the pot, because it looks like the exclusive agreement was probably 2 years instead of 1 year. So,
But I mean, I'm happy that we're getting that. That's the one that I really want to play, because I do know it's good. I just didn't think it was get a good enough Apple device, because I don't get the worst ones.
I'm very glad for Mistwalker too that more people get to play the game, because releasing on just the Apple platforms was going to be too limiting. And I would say the exact same thing about Final Fantasy 16 and PlayStation 5 and all the feedback on that, how that game should have quote unquote sold better. Well, you limited it to one, you know, ecosystem, especially a particular device that isn't coming through the same way it did on PS4. So I would say the same thing about any game that limits itself to one platform, is that I'm just happy it gets that additional exposure, because, you know, it is a choice to limit yourself, and that choice is financially compensated, but it is a choice.
And that being said, we're also being hypocrites, because Nintendo limits all their stuff to one platform, and we're sitting here talking about, oh, it's going to be great, Zelda and Metroid and this.
I would bet the Dragon Quest remasters are actually not. There's a lot of things that show up in Nintendo Directs, such as Fantasian, great example. It is actually not limited to Nintendo.
And the MVC2 collection is also multi-platform, but not all the platforms.
Yeah, but at least you have your three games.
Yeah. Anyway, what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
How about ourselves? It's our 22nd birthday. Did you get us a gift?
You know, I was going to fly out for it, but I had to go to GDQ.
Oh, poor thing. All right. Maybe next year. Who knows? But yeah, it is our actual birthday, too.
That's
not
right.
Always, you know, it only lines up once every 7 years or so, but it is our actual birthday today. So, yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, we just celebrated 1,000 episodes.
Yeah.
So how many times can you pat yourself on the back in a year? But it is still a nice landmark, and, you know, we're just happy to have you all here for the ride, including yourself, Bobby. You've been an integral part of us making it this far, so thank you.
Thank you. And, yeah, happy birthday to OLR. And talk about yourselves for 3 hours. That'd be great.
We'll do that.
I'd appreciate that. All right.
All right.
Orange Lounge Radio on its birthday is coming up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday. All right. That is it for me. I will be back in 2 weeks here on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. Or you can follow us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. Or I am on social media at bobbyblackwolf.com, where the skies are blue. That is probably where you're going to see most of my stuff during GDQ. I do have a TikTok. I may post to the TikTok during GDQ. It's at bobbyblackwolf. It's still legal in the United States, so I can still do that. But you can also find me there at Bobby Black Wolf. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters, who go above and beyond what they need to. You being here is really all we ask. But there is a way to help. Just, you know, pay for the lights, keep the lights on. We don't make money off of this, but we do actually have some expenses related to putting this out. So thank you so much, Mike Deft, for the resubscription, saying sub speed run. That's right, subscription percent. And then Orange Wright resubscribed. Thank you so much for the resubscription. I will be hitting this, and then I will be heading out to Minneapolis next week for Summer Games Done Quick. I will see you Sunday and Tuesday on the Games Done Quick stage. So, happy gaming. See you next week. 2 weeks. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.